Today on Family Talk.
The very last sentences of the Old Testament appear in Malachi. And this is what God says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children, and I will turn the hearts of the children towards their fathers. I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, dads go first, and then the hearts of the children to the fathers. Then God went silent for 400 years. Do you think those sentences were important?
I don't know that I've ever thought about the fact that the Old Testament ends with hope for the family. What a great way to start today's broadcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and the clip you just heard was from the first part of Dr. Meeker's talk that she gave at the Dave Ramsey Smart Conference. During part one, she made the case for the importance of fathers in the lives of children, as well as challenging the parents in the audience with the characteristics of healthy families. Today, she's going to build on that foundation by laying out three important questions that every parent, especially fathers, needs to answer in order to build character into their children. But before we jump into day two, let me share a little bit about our friend. Dr. Meeker is a nationally known speaker and author of two best-selling books, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and Strong Mothers, Strong Sons. She's been a regular guest on The Today Show and The Dave Ramsey Show and many other media outlets. And most importantly to us, Dr. Meeker is our physician in residence and the co-host of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. So let's get to the program now. Here is part two of Smart Fathers, Smart Mothers, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Fundamentally, great parenting is about answering three questions. Three questions for your kids. And these are so important, dads, that if you answer them right, you don't have to worry about your kids that much. Don't worry about what football team on or whether they start or whether they're doing ballet or whether they're good at math or whether they have to repeat third grade. Who cares about that stuff? We're talking character here. Question number one, that kids read your face to find the answers. What do you think of me? What do you think of me, Dad? You see, they walk into a room and they'll read your face. And they may look at you and a little girl go, Dad, do you like what I'm wearing? Dad, do you like the art project I'm working on? Dad, here's my homework. I just got an A. What do you think? And in a moment, that girl or boy will get an answer. If you don't pay any attention to what they're doing, they got their answer and they walk away. If you sit down and you say, that's really good, honey. I'm really proud of you. Thank you. And you take the time to look at them in the face and say, what you're doing and who you are is terrific. Great. That sentence took me maybe 7 seconds to say. So don't tell me you don't have time to encourage your children. Your biggest enemy in great parenting is not lack of knowledge, it's probably something electronic. Because you, like me, are probably always looking down at your phone. And if your kid comes to you asking questions like, what do you think of me? Do you like what I said? Do you like what I did with my friend? Are you mad at me today, Mom? Dad, I have a question. Or you ask a question of your child and the child starts to answer it and your phone rings and you answer the phone. What did you just tell your child? I really don't think much of you. Because what you have to say is not really that important. Kids will find an answer to, what do you think of me? So the question is, what answer are you going to give them? And that depends on what they see in your person. What are they reading from your face? How do you feel? It's very hard for a lot of parents who believe their kids are stupid or a flunky. Particularly for parents who have a kid who's just like them and they have bad thoughts about themselves, those get transferred right onto the kid. You think your kid's fat and he's 15 pounds overweight? He feels 50 pounds overweight because he knows exactly what you feel. Many years ago, when I was 16 years old, I decided that I was going to go to medical school. My dad was a doctor, but he was a pathologist, and there's no way. They do autopsies and all. But he introduced, I didn't want to be like him, but he introduced me to a friend who was an orthopedic surgeon. I got to wander around the hospital. I fell in love with medicine and I decided that's what I'm gonna do with my life. Remember, this is the 1970s. And so I went through college, sent out all my gazillion applications, living in Boston, it was extremely competitive, got all of my letters back one day, and one day the final letter came in and I didn't get in anywhere. I didn't date much in college because I just studied. That's all I wanted to do. And I remember just being beside myself at 21. I thought, my life is over. What am I gonna do? This is all I've planned for the past 5 years. And you know, for kids, that's a long time. So I went out for a jog just to kind of clear my head. And I came back in. And as I walked back in my house, I heard my dad on the phone in the den. And that was kind of unusual. My dad was a very quiet man, very much an introvert. He was talking to a friend. And I heard him say my name. I thought, wow, that's kind of funny. He's on a phone, he's talking about me. That's really weird. So I stopped and I eavesdropped, kind of opened the door a little bit, and I listened to him. And this is what I heard him say after my final rejection from medical school came in. Yup, yeah, yes, my daughter Meg will be going to medical school in the next couple of years. And I was stunned. I thought, well, he either knows something I don't know, or he paid somebody off at a medical school. And I wouldn't put it past my dad. He thought I was just it. And, or maybe he knows something about me that I don't know. But when I heard those words, she is going to go, I knew I was gonna go. And I will tell you, when I was in my 40s and I was in my 50s and I was writing books and I was working hard and I was doing things, I still heard my dad say to me, she's going to go. Do you know that answered the question? What I believe about you is you're capable. And that became who I was. That's the authority of a dad. Interestingly enough, my dad doesn't remember having that conversation. I said, Dad. That line changed my life. And he goes, are you sure I said it? I know you said it. Are you starting to get my drift here? You're all worried about soccer and what your kids are eating and what school they're in. And I know you're terrified your kids are spending too much time on the internet. And what are you going to do? And you haven't paid any attention to the most fundamental, basic parts of parenting that launch your kids. Question number two, how do you feel about me? Do you like me? A lot of parents say to me, oh, I love my kids, but I'd like to kill them. That's kind of a red flag statement to me. How do you like somebody but want to kill them? I ask kids routinely, does your mom, who loves you the most in the world? Well, my mom, always my mom, because my mom has to. What about your dad? Does your dad love you? Truly, that's what they say. And does your dad love you? Yep, I think so. He's my parent. He's really good, and I know he works really hard. And then I go to the parents, and I say, you know, so-and-so's struggling understanding if they feel loved by you. And the parents go, that's crazy. Why are they making up lies? Of course I love them. And then after they do that, they give me the litany of, I work so hard. I got him in the best school. I helped him save up for college. Uh-oh. I shouldn't talk about money. I won't go there. It's very important to have your kids save up for money. Very, very important. But I got him on the right soccer team, and I did all these things, and I hired him a tutor. It's very important. But it's got to be on top of some other things, you see? And I do all these things for him. And I work two jobs to make sure he has enough. And I work hard to make sure that he fits in and that he has kids. And mom says, I work hard to have kids over. This is the place kids want to come to. So I want to make sure I know his friends. And they give me a list of stuff they do. And I said, no, I didn't ask you what you do. Does Tommy know you love him? Because he told me he's not so sure. Communication of that love to a child is crucial. And if we're not doing a great job at that, and kids are needing that question answered, how in the world can we ask our kids to succeed? Nothing else matters. This is a true story. I had a patient in my practice a number of years ago that was going through a horrible time. I have a sign I wear, and it says, if you are anorexic, depressed, extremely anxious, you have an STD, come see me, I'd love to help you. And I get almost every teenager in town to my office. But I was working with a kid who was having a terrible, terrible time. And she told me she thought about running away from home. Terrible relationship with her parents. And her parents wanted to send her off to one of these hiking camps, boot camps, out west. That cost a fortune. They wanted her to shape up. Again, they wanted her to shape up. So I said to them, I said, well, I've got another idea that's a little cheaper. It's going to be tougher. But why don't we try this before they send her off? I said, you come back in my office next week, mom and dad. We're going to sit down and have a talk. And this guy was a friend of mine. And not one of these real talky, kind of cozy, huggy people. And I sat down, I said, this is what I'd like you to do. I said this to the dad. Why don't you take Andrea away for 4 or 5 days camping? And he looked at me like he was ready to punch me. And he said, what are you talking about? She won't even talk to me. She won't come home if I'm sitting in the living room. She sneaks in and out of the house so she can avoid me. I said, that's the point. You're not spending enough time together. What? I said, I know that this sounds terrible, but just give it a try. Would you please? All right. I'll do anything for my daughter. Somehow, miraculously, his daughter said that she would go. And so I think the outdoors, camping and canoeing, are terrific for parent-child bonding because you're all on level ground. You can't pitch a tent solo. You usually need somebody to help you. So they went off on this trip. Day number one, he said it was horrible. She refused to talk the whole car trip. She decided to torture her dad by not talking. And I said, get ready for that, but just stay in the canoe. Stay in the canoe. The next day, he would ask her questions. Come help me with this. Come do this. Do you want to have lunch? And she'd grunt or she'd groan or she'd answer questions only when he asked. Third day comes. They're still out in the woods. All of a sudden, she'd had it. She erupted. Dad, you are so stupid. Why in the world did you want it? This is a waste of time. I'm getting eaten by mosquitoes. It's raining. I'm having a miserable time. You're the worst dad in the world. Why did you ever think of doing, take me home right now? Well, he couldn't take her home because they were pretty far out into the woods. And he just let her have it rip. And he was stuck with her. And I think he was pretty miserable. Guess what happened the next day? She started to cry. She still yelled, but then she started to cry. And as she was crying, her dad looked at her and he said, honey, I am so sorry for what's happened between us. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I know you don't understand it, but I tell you one thing. I want it better. So when we go home, will you help me? And she looked at him like, what are you talking about? Will you help me? No. How to be a better dad to you. Andrea is 30 years old today, and she is very close to her dad because her dad communicated to her in those few days, you can be the biggest pill in the world, but I'm not getting out of this canoe. I'm sticking with you. And that's what kids need to know. And you know, many kids will go to many lengths to have their question answered. How do you feel about me, Dad? They'll get pregnant. They'll do drugs. They'll run away from home. They'll get bad grades. They'll drop off the soccer team. They'll act obnoxious. They will do whatever they can because they need that question answered from mom and from dad. Question number three, what do you hope for me? What do you hope for me? Now, I love the word hope because it doesn't make any sense if there isn't a future. You have to hope for something to happen in the future, right? Hope takes you forward. Dad, do you think I'm going to amount to anything? Dad, do you think that I will be able to handle myself when a guy wants to have sex with me? Dad, do you think that I can do a good enough job in this new job? I don't know what I'm doing. Dad, do you think I'm going to flunk out of college? Mom, do you think that I can grow up and be the kind of person that you are? because I want to live up to what you have shown me. What do you hope for me? I want to tell you a psychological phenomenon here. Kids grow up and gravitate to what they know, and they repeat what they know. They don't do what they want to do. They do what they know how to do. I can't tell you how many girls have sat in my office and said, their dad's horrible to them, abusive, or whatever. I will never marry a man like my dad. And then 3 years later, I get an invitation to a wedding, and guess who she's walking down to in the aisle? An abusive husband. Why? Because we repeat the familiar. We repeat the familiar. I had a very interesting conversation with one of these pro athletes that Ken was talking about why so many men who are elite athletes and making a lot of money, why they have so many out-of-wedlock kids. They came from poverty. They lived that way as children. Why do they do it again? And the answer I got really turned me on my ear. And one man said this, I'll tell you why. Because when we were growing up in our family, we didn't know our dad, but I believe that's what my dad did. And so if I do what my dad does, that's okay. But on a deeper level, do you understand how deeply that man needed to feel connected to his dad? He did behavior and caused great pain in people's lives, and he did it because he had that need to feel connected to his dad. That's how profound familiarity is to us. We repeat what we know. The best way to guarantee the future for your child is to communicate your hopes for them. What do you hope for your children? Do you hope your kids will make $1 million by 35? Do you hope that your kids will grow up to be a patient person, a God-fearing person? Do you hope that your kids will graduate with honors from Yale? Search your heart and then communicate those hopes to your kids, not just verbally, but you've got to model them. Many years ago, my husband and I, because we share a practice, we came home and I was really tired and I was going to make dinner. And I was too tired to make dinner. So I told him, I said, would you do me a favor and just go to this Chinese food and get some food and then bring it home and then we'll eat Chinese food. And he was very, very kind. He said, sure, I'll go. And I said, but listen, you know, my favorite part of the meal is the egg rolls. So don't forget the egg rolls. About 8 o'clock at night, I'm a little edgy because I'm hungry and the kids are hungry. So he gets in his truck and our 8-year-old daughter jumped in the truck with him, said, can I come along, Dad? Sure. They went back to the Chinese food place, came back home and opening the little white buckets with a wire on the top because I have to have everything hot, heating it all up. Came in last bucket and there was mugu gai pan in there. No egg rolls. So I was mad. And I said, hey, where are my egg rolls? I told you not to forget the egg rolls. And then I went into the wifely thing. You always forget to do what I tell you to do. What do I need to do? Write it on your hand, write it on your arm, leave you notes everywhere. And I was sort of going off on my rant, and my little 8-year-old daughter came over to me and she starts pulling on my shirt. Mom, when we were on our way home from the Chinese food, Dad saw a man rummaging through a garbage can at Bryant Park, and he pulled the truck in, and he got out of the truck, and he took all the Chinese food, and he went over to the man, and he said, what would you like to have? And there's eight-year-old little eyes looking from the car. And so the man took some food, and she came back, and they drove it home. Guess what the man took? My egg rolls. My husband pulled into the parking lot because he loves God. And he wants to express his love for his God all the time, and he wants to make sure the kids see. Is he doing it for show? No. He's doing it because it just comes out of him. And our kids know this man adores his Lord. That daughter grew up and she turned 24, graduated from college, and decided that God was calling her to the mission field. Okay, she calls home, we'll pray for you and help you. Calls home, and we said, well, She said, Dad and Mom, I think God is calling me to Indonesia. And we said, oh, well, my husband said, really, have you prayed a lot about it? And she said, yeah, I have prayed a lot about it. And I said, well, hold on a minute. God and I need to talk. Because she had blonde hair down to here. She's about 5'8", and she was going to teach school in a Muslim school as a Christian girl. Long story short, they won, God won, I lost, she went. And when she came home after a year and a half, I looked at her and I said, tell me one thing, the most important thing that you learned while you were over in Indonesia. And she said, Mom, I learned that no matter what situation is, even if you're halfway around the world and you're depressed and you're lonely and you don't know what to do and you don't speak the language, God is enough. God is enough. Her dad's hope was that she'd grow up to love his Lord. It happens when you're driving in the car. Kids need the answers to those questions. What do you think about me? What do you feel about me? What do you believe about me? Many men are going to have difficulty communicating that to their kids for one reason. Maybe your dad never answered the questions. And if your dad never answered the questions, you found the answers, but they weren't very good. Chances are, no matter how old you are, you're still living your life trying to show your dad that you are worth him liking. That you are really doing a good enough job at work, that he can believe in you, that he can think you're okay. I want to tell you something. You don't need your parents. You don't need, when you're an adult, to have those questions answered. You know why? Because every woman and man in this room is God's pleasure. You are his pleasure. And that's where you start being a parent for your children. We started off today looking at non-reality. We looked at how our culture perceives dads and how unreal it is, how disgusting it is, how untrue it is, and how you dads need to go home and live differently, and how you wives need to quit the criticism and encourage your husband, because the best thing you can do for your kid, if you're divorced, married, doesn't matter, is to help them have a better relationship with their dad because of need-based love. Every child in your life, if you are their mom or their dad, particularly their dad, is connected to you by need-based love. And that's what it looks like. That's what every child wants from their dad. Don't go home and waste time and energy and money on things that don't matter. Focus on the questions. Focus on the questions. And dads, answer the questions for your children. Not only will you build children who are strong and can do anything and really ready to launch, you will enjoy the journey like you've never enjoyed it before. And ladies, let's stop the criticism. Let's get under our men, our dads. I don't care how negatively you feel about them. I don't care what they do or they don't do. Encourage them. Love them. We are a nation who needs our good dads to step forward. God bless you.
Oh, I love the encouragement Dr. Meeker gives, because she is right. We need our dads. Our culture is tearing them down, and we need them. You've been listening to the conclusion of a talk by Dr. Meg Meeker here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about Dr. Meeker's books, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, or Strong Mothers, Strong Sons, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us today. God bless, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.